Hello and welcome to the podcast that discusses all things gaming. Coming to you from the home of Indie PopCon, Gen Con, and the gaming capital of the world, this is The Established Facts. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Indie PopCon 2016. Is everybody having a good time today?
Woo!
Yeah, five people having a good time. Awesome. You guys rock. Everybody else has got a sandwich in their mouth. That's good. That's good. Well, we're here at the Established Facts podcast stage. We are the Established Facts. We are a podcast from here in Indianapolis. We talk about all things gaming, from video games to card games and everything in between. We have some really special guests with us today. We have Ray and Tina. I would like you to kind of help introduce yourselves. Tell us, where can we find you? Why should we know you? And what do you have coming down the pipe?
All right. My name is Ray Narvaez Jr. I used to work at a place called Rooster Teeth. Right now, you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/RayNarvaez Jr. or on Twitch at twitch.tv/brownman. Why you should know me? No reason. I'm just a guy on the internet. I'm just some guy.
There you go.
And my name is Tina Dayton, and I'm a Twitch streamer, and you can find me at twitch.tv/TinaDayton or on Twitter at twitter.com/TinaDayton. I'm very creative with my usernames, as you can tell.
I'm Josh with the Established Facts because Don forgot to do the normal
introduction.
Hi, Josh.
And I'm Big Don, your host of the Established Facts. So, for those of you who have never seen it's very rare that I use that word, seen the Established Facts. Normally only about once a year when we're here at Indie PopCon. If you've never listened to the Established Facts, then shame on you.
Shame.
You can change
Shameful.
That today. But we are a general gaming podcast. We love talking about all kinds of things gaming. The way that we normally run our show is we do a versus topic at the beginning, so it could be anything between the superiority of Microsoft and Xbox over the inferiority of Sony products, or
the exact opposite.
You know, Marvel versus DC, things like that. So because we have Twitch streamers, we're going to do a versus topic of Twitch versus YouTube. We're each going to kind of give our answer, and then we'll go around the table and explain why. And then we're going to get into a discussion about whatever. Most of the time, probably, what's connected with the versus topic. But we like to keep it free-flowing. So I hope you guys enjoy your time here. Enjoy your lunch. If you have to leave to go to the restroom, wait until 2 o'clock. Hold it. Other than that, so let's get into our versus topic. Twitch versus YouTube. Josh, I'm going to start down there with you, and we'll come back this way.
YouTube.
Oh, do we just say... Okay, I didn't... Twitch?
Twitch.
And I'm going to say YouTube, and I'll go ahead and kind of show you guys how this works. I'm going to say YouTube because mostly I am a gamer, but I also have three children, so I don't get a chance to hang out on Twitch very often. Mm-hmm. And so when I have to sneak the 7 minutes that I have in the restroom by myself, YouTube is usually kind of the best, the best media for me to be able to do that. So,
fair enough.
What's that?
Fair enough.
Fair,
you know, and I'm addicted to James Corden right now.
Okay.
The car karaoke thing is amazing. And, you know, but I am really interested in the world of Twitch, which I'm really glad that you guys are here with us today. Because, first of all, I have a lot of questions about just that phenomenon and being able to stream games and things like that. So it's definitely something I'm interested in. It's just nothing that I've been exposed to yet. Mm-hmm. So YouTube is kind of my standard right now. But I'm one of those very flexible, though I may not look it, kind of guys when it comes to that sort of thing. So Tina, Ray, kind of give us why is Twitch kind of your go-to handle in that?
I like the live interaction, being able to just like hang out and play whatever game I want and be able to hang out with hundreds of people, just kind of, you know, chat and just BS about whatever. Building tight-knit communities, which kind of helped due to the live interaction. People can make friends and kind of use the chat as, like, a chat room, essentially. Like, just because I'm streaming whatever game doesn't mean, like, I'm the main focus. Like, people can just go there, talk with friends. I'm kind of like background entertainment. Or if they want to engage in a conversation with me, it's totally doable. Unlike with YouTube in that aspect, your communication is via the comment section, which is great, by the way. Everyone in the comment section is super nice. So as far as just like hanging out with a group of friends and building a community, I think Twitch is the best for that.
Okay. All right. Tina?
I'm more partial to Twitch from like a content creator's perspective, because admittedly I watch a ton of YouTube as well. But from a content creator perspective, like Twitch, you do get the interaction, and like it's not just you and the person creating the content. Like as a viewer, even if I'm in a chat, it might not be just the content creator I'm watching, but their chat, you can make friends in.
Sure.
You can kind of discover different things through them, as well as Ray kind of mentioned, the YouTube comment section can be brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's partially because there is a bigger sense of, like, being anonymous on there. You can just create a YouTube account. It's not tied to your personal name or anything. Where, like, with Twitch, because people kind of build, like, friends on their account and stuff, they don't want to take a chance that they're going to get banned or that they're going to have to create a whole new account because they were, you know, an idiot in a stream. So you kind of get a nicer audience, which definitely develops the conversation, and you actually can have a conversation because you're talking in real time. Where if you comment on a YouTube video and you happen to get an intelligent, kind respond back, it might not be for, you know, a day, 2 days, 3 days, and it just stalls the conversation. Where Twitch, you have kind of that instant interaction with other people.
Okay,
Go
ahead.
That being said, there's still trolls and stuff on Twitch, but since it's live, you can easily just like remove them at the click of a button.
Right.
Like you'll have someone just being a real terrible person. It's just like ban and they're gone.
Right.
We're on YouTube, you know, they could just keep going and going and going. You have to like remove them and stuff like that. And you know, you may upload a video and then like not look at the comment section for like a couple of days, and it just builds its toxicity.
Sure.
Where on Twitch it's just like you're being a terrible person. Goodbye.
Right. I think what I kind of gathered from it's kind of like the team chat element when you're playing like different sort of MMOs and things like that, where you have that interaction, that social interaction. Maybe they're playing one game, you're playing another, so you don't necessarily have to be playing the same game.
Yeah.
But having that, you know, almost like what we do with this podcast, being able to have a conversation with buddies that are just hanging out and playing games at the same time, though it may not be the same game. Mm. I can see that. That's really
cool. I often equate watching streams sort of like when you have friends over and you kind of throw on like Food Network or ESPN or HGTV in the background, you guys aren't really watching it, but it's just something there, like a common element that you might comment on from time to time.
Just
but
white noise in
the
background.
Yeah, it's more like background noise or something, like if the conversation lulls for you to go back to.
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of the times, like I'll be playing a game and my chat might go off on some topic about, you know, a show on last night or something they read in the news, and like it has absolutely nothing to do with the game.
Right.
And the game's really just the background noise. It's just like the common ground for people to come together and talk about.
Right.
Which, like, you don't really ever get that in YouTube. Like, obviously, because you're commenting on a specific video, it's generally only about that video. It doesn't really give you the opportunity to discuss other things.
Well, and I think for me, and I'm going to get to Josh on his opinion, I think for me what I also see is when it comes to YouTube, it's that production and then response and then response and then response, and there's like a time element.
Yeah.
You know, if I posted a video last night, I may not get anything or may not be able to respond to something until a day or so later.
Yeah.
And if they had a pertinent question that they needed answered, you know,
it's hard to keep a conversation going.
Right. Absolutely. So Josh, what do you think?
Well, the funny thing is I had this conversation before with one of our former hosts, and for me, as an IT professional, first off, I signed off on my Google overlords a long time ago, so I got no problem saying YouTube is great. But from especially here recently with the YouTube gaming platform launching and growing in popularity, things like your chat sessions are becoming more of a reality because they're building in the Hangouts functionality into YouTube gaming, so you're able to do the same thing. stream and talk with people at the same time. Now, not every platform may support it yet, like Twitch is allowed. I will give Twitch all the credit in the world for making things a lot easier to talk, you know, talk with, especially since they were the first ones to hit Sony, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. They hit it, and they hit it hard to get a good platform behind it. But they also have Amazon backing that. So right now, as big of a deal as it may be, Twitch versus YouTube, in the end, it's Amazon versus Google, and I will always take Google over Amazon. Even though I enjoy my Prime shipping very much.
I was about to say, but Google doesn't have a store with two-day shipping.
Yeah.
Two-day? We have warehouses here. It's same day.
They spoil you, yeah. And you still pick Google. How dare you?
I pay Amazon. Google's free.
That's right. It's very, very true.
The only other thing that Twitch has up on Google, YouTube Gaming is that Twitch already has kind of its viewer base, and Twitch very much has a Twitch community and kind of
has
like
a culture,
a Twitch culture, which takes time. And like, I'm sure, you know, a couple years from now, YouTube will have their own like YouTube culture. But as it stands, like now, as somebody who's been on Twitch for a couple years, like that's like my home. So it's kind of like that just makes sense to me. And I'm sure I'll be very critical of anything YouTube does just because it's already so different from what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. And that's just like the natural reaction to something different.
Mm-hmm.
So, for somebody who has enjoyed playing video games, if I wanted to get into streaming on Twitch and things like that, I don't own an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4 yet. If I wanted to do it now, without that equipment, what would be the process that I would go through in order to do that?
It's actually very simple on a PC. You download a streaming program. There's OBS. There's XSplit. Those are the two big ones. And then you just simply, you know, you set up a Twitch channel and do all that, get that all situated. And you just find a game, any game. We'll just pick Overwatch, for example. You just load up Overwatch, go into OBS, just set it all up, and just hit start stream and see what happens.
Okay.
It's very, very, very simple. I mean, on the consoles, there's a Twitch app built in. It works, but obviously if you have a proper setup, you have more freedom.
Sure.
And stuff like that. Where with the PC, it's way more simple.
Okay.
When I first started streaming, the only way I could stream is if I was able to borrow Ray's computer or my sister's computer.
Okay. Because
I had like a 4-year-old MacBook that just would not handle it.
Yeah.
It had like a hard time running like Firefox, so streaming was out of the question.
Yeah, obviously you want something like kind of recent. You don't need anything like top of the line, but at least something decent.
Okay.
And really, I mean, as much as I love Twitch, the one thing I will give YouTube is there is tutorial videos on everything.
Everything.
And if you put how to set up Twitch streaming, you're going to get thousands of videos that take you step by step by step on how to do it. And like, and if one video doesn't make sense, I guarantee you there's another one out there that's going to be very easy for you to follow. So it does, I mean, YouTube does have that. And if you know, anything you have a question on, you can just be like, how do I do this? And there's going to be, you know, 20 people all telling you the exact same thing. But
here, let me forward you my YouTube clip. I just did that.
Yeah.
Like how to set your settings, how to make your stream look like the best. Or if you have any questions, she's right. There's a YouTube tutorial for literally everything.
I feel like if it would be, this is a little off the skew, but I feel like it would be really funny to put together some sort of like Ancestry.com to find out who is the first person to, you know, like,
who
is
the first YouTube tutorial? Yeah,
that's right.
This,
So you Twitch what?
What do I stream? I'm a variety streamer.
Okay.
So I'll play pretty much whatever. So recently,
Xbox One, PS4,
yeah, Xbox
PC.
One, yeah. Recently, I bought a PS3 and I've been playing, oddly enough, PS2 games or remasters of PS2. So I just went back and played the Jack and Daxter series.
Oh, sweet.
And I'm playing through Sly Cooper, playing through God of War. Just all the stuff I missed when I was younger because I had an Xbox and I mainly just played Halo.
Sure.
So I missed all those classic games. But besides that, like, I played a bunch of Overwatch, you know, some of the big games too. But as a variety streamer, you can kind of play. Your audience is trained that you'll play. It might be different every day.
Sure.
As opposed to being just dedicated to one game. So if I'm going to play Sly Cooper, Overwatch, or if I want to play some super obscure, like, Barbie game, they know, like, that there's a chance that might happen for me.
Okay.
And I, too, am a variety streamer, and I'm pretty split 50-50 on PC games and Xbox games. I've done a couple of PlayStation games, but mainly
You're good.
Okay,
keep
sorry, there's a hair on me.
The whole head.
There's a lot of hairs on me. There was one hair on my arm that shouldn't have been there.
There you go.
So I do a lot of, like, Xbox and PC games, and it's more just whatever, like, piques my attention at the time. Like, I'm super into, like, simulation games. Like, God, any of the tycoons, like Roller Coaster Tycoon, Zoo Tycoon, any of those. Like, Prison Architect has taken over my life.
Yesterday, Josh and I got a chance to host your panel, and you had said something about Prison Architect. And I was like, that's so funny.
Prison
like,
Architect has taken over my life. And it's like, I was telling my sister I've gotten to this sad point where I have different save files, and I feel like I have to, like, check on all my different prisons and be like, oh, I need to upgrade this. Oh, my God, this prison needs a new cafeteria. Like, these prisoners don't care. They're not real. Like, right. These are also prisoners. Why do I care if they have a nice cafeteria?
I don't have
but
any
here
standards
I am, like,
to keep.
Upgrading them to hardwood floors and making sure my prison aesthetic looks nice. And it's like, my life, this is what I'm spending my time doing.
There you go.
That was like with me and Stardew Valley. Which I've never played. It's like a Harvest Moon kind of farming simulator,
sure.
Which I never really heard of, but it was popular on Twitch. Like, everyone
okay.
was playing it, so I looked into it. And the first time I played, I'm like, all right, I'll check this out, see how it is. And then I played it for like 3 weeks straight. I think I had like 75 hours at the time I was done with
oh
it. I'm
my
like,
gosh.
All right, well, that kind of took off. Just caring about my farm and my crops, getting married.
Well, my wife plays the mobile game Heyday. And has been playing it for a long time. So much to the point that when I finally convinced her to switch from the iPhone to Android because of her, you know, signing over to the Google Overlords, her first question to me was, can I bring my game save? So we understand the obsession that comes with managing your own, you know, business, even if it's a fake farm or a fake prison.
Listen, it's real, all
right?
You care.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
I want to maximize my profits.
When I upgraded from the original Xbox to the Xbox 360, my wife and I had a very similar conversation about Fable. She's like, am I going to be able to play Fable on this? I'm like, calm down. Yes. Good Lord. You know? Backwards compatibility is a thing.
It's a huge thing.
That's right. Yeah, it used to be.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to know what is your grassroots story of how you got started, why you decided that this was going to be your thing, why this was going to be something that you invested your time in, and how you kind of gained the passion of doing it.
All right. So when I was growing up, I started gaming at a very young age. I started gaming at 2. My grandfather had an NES, and he introduced me to it. And I was like, back then the controller had 2 buttons, but 2-year-old Ray didn't know how to jump in Mario. It took me 2 weeks to
That's
jump
right.
the first gap. So, but I got addicted immediately. And growing up, I knew I wanted to do something with video games because that was really my only passion. Like, I played sports and stuff, but it didn't really connect with me. So throughout high school and stuff, I was just like, I'm going to do something with video games. I don't know what it is, making them, writing about them. I want to do something. And then I discovered in high school, I discovered a site called Rooster Teeth way back when. They do a whole bunch of, they're a huge company now, having all these productions and stuff. When I was in college, they started a video game branch called Achievement Hunter. I believe I was 18, and they were doing like achievement guides for Xbox games. Like, the Xbox 360 brought, like, had achievements, like little objectives you can do in games. And I thought it was the coolest thing. So I would make guides for fun. And I didn't know how to do anything. Going back to YouTube, I bought a capture card. I'm like, how do I hook this up? How do I record? So I did that for a couple of years, you know, just for free because I enjoyed doing it. And they offered me a job.
Oh, wow.
So I worked there for 3 years. And during those 3 years, I discovered Twitch.
Okay.
And I just really... Going back to what I said before, I really like the live interaction, being able to hang out with people, just kind of play whatever you want. So I did that while working at Achievement Hunter for about a year and a half. And when I quit, I knew I wanted to go straight to try and make Twitch a full-time thing because Tina and I knew people who did it full-time.
Sure.
So we kind of had an idea of, like, what to expect, like how many viewers you should have and comfortably be able to live. Leaving Achievement Hunter was scary. Because I knew I had, like, an audience, but I wasn't sure if they were going to follow me.
Transfer over.
I was kind of, like, taking a leap of faith. And thankfully, a good amount of people carried over, and I'm able to do it full time. So going back to when I was, like, in high school, like, I'm going to get a job playing video games, it kind of it's amazing, and I'm very thankful, you know, via the support of my audience and my family and everybody, that I was able to accomplish that in two different aspects. I used to be like a Let's player for Achievement Hunter, and then I kind of just transitioned over to a streamer, which is more, I think, what I feel more comfortable with doing, just kind of hanging out and, you know, not doing these intricate, like not having to edit these intricate videos, and just kind of start the stream and just kind of play for like 5 or 6 hours, hang out, and then call it a day and do it again tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I had a friend who streamed, and I thought it was like really cool, and I used to watch a lot of streams. Ray and I both used to watch a lot of speedrunners. But you guys don't know what speedrunning is. It's when they try and beat like a game as quickly as
sure.
possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I beat Mario in six yeah. minutes yeah. or whatever,
and it's,
right.
It's crazy the stuff that they can do. So we would watch a lot of that. And I really wanted Ray to start streaming because I was like, I think you'd like this, dude. Like, you should do it. And he's like, yeah, yeah, you know, I will. So I was like, all right, I'm going to figure out the streaming thing and I'm going to get set up for you. So I originally started streaming just to figure out how streaming worked. Because I was like, if I set this up and it fails miserably for him, he's never going to do it again. So I'm going to do all the test streams, and I'm going to try and figure it out. And I just like instantly fell in love with it. I
sure.
love talking with people. I'm terrible at finishing a game, not even like completing it, but just like finishing it. I just get distracted too easily.
Right.
But if I'm streaming it and I have like other people to talk to and that are invested in it, I'm much more likely to finish a game.
Right.
So that was a huge thing for me at first. Like, I wanted to be able to actually complete these games, you know, play the whole story. And so streaming kind of really helped me with that. And I just, you know, I love the interaction.
Sure.
And I decided to go full-time because, one, the old job I had just wasn't doing it for me anymore. It was just an office job.
Sure.
You know, it had its own office issues.
Right.
And I wanted to put more time into it. I was doing well enough where I'm like, you know what? It's now or never. You got to take a chance.
Right.
I have like enough that I can do this. I took like a part-time job so that I had like a little bit of cash flow
sure.
coming in. So like at the end of the day, I could pay my bills.
A security
and
cushion.
And eat. Yeah, yeah. You know, those important things.
Right. Food's a thing.
Yeah. You know, you kind of have to eat that to, you know, eat to survive. And then luckily, you know, my channel's just been able to grow over time that I was even able to leave my part-time job and just do it full-time. And it's just something I truly like love. And it's kind of like just having like a family, like an online family to get together and play games with.
Sure.
That was the thing when I left. I also like, it wasn't like an impromptu thing. I didn't wake up one day. It's like, all right, I'm going to quit my job and stream. I talked about it with Tina. I talked about it with my family. I did my research. I talked to big YouTubers. I talked to people like Markiplier. I'm like, what do you think? Like, do you think this will work out for me? And so talking to people like him, talking to people who do it full-time, and getting all the information I needed, I felt more, like, more prepared.
A little bit more
confident.
Yeah,
and I also had saved money for months, like, as an emergency fund. So if this, like, blows up in my face that I'm completely, like,
right.
effed, you know, I have like, backup money just in case right. I need to, like, you know,
pay rent
and get everything right. back up and going.
Okay. Well, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, You said a lot about there was a lot of preparation for you to be able to confidently make the step into doing Twitch full time. Okay, how does doing Twitch full time pay the bills? Like, explain that phenomenon to me a little bit.
Okay, so you get paid on Twitch in multiple ways. The two big ones are your Twitch subscriptions,
okay,
and donations. So when you start a Twitch channel, you don't have a subscribe button. You have to build your channel up and reach certain numbers.
Benchmarks.
And then you could apply for partnership. Once you get partnered, then you could get a subscribe button. And a Twitch subscribe button is $5. Twitch gets a percentage. $5 a month. You can cancel at any time. Twitch gets a percentage. You get a percentage. And that's kind of your main thing.
Okay.
So
that's like your paycheck.
Yeah.
They're the hosting company, so they're going to take some off top, and then you get whatever's
left. Yeah, you get paid once a month, and it's equivalent to how many subs you have.
Sweet.
And then you could give your subs a whole bunch of benefits. A big thing on Twitch are the emotes. So you can have like emotes specific to your that only your subscribers can get.
Okay.
So like, say, if you subscribe to my channel, you get like an emote of my face, but you can use that emote anywhere on Twitch as long as you're a sub to me. So that's one of the big things are emotes. Another big thing is donations, and you could take that, you could set that up immediately.
Okay.
And Twitch doesn't take any of that because that all goes through like, you know, whatever. Like,
right.
I'll go straight to your PayPal, and that's another very very big chunk for me. There are people who you know, live on the other side of the world, and they may not necessarily be able to watch the streams all the time enough to validate a subscription.
Right.
So they'll be like, hey, I'm catching the stream. This is the first time I've been able to catch it live. Here's $10. I like what you do.
That's cool.
You keep it up, yeah.
Okay.
The other two, which aren't as big, is there's ad revenue, which is so-so. And then if you set up a merch store as well,
okay,
you can get income that way. But definitely Twitch subs and donations or tips or whatever you want to call them are the way you make money.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love the idea of being able to kind of sit at home and play video games for the rest of my life.
It's great. It's great.
I asked you yesterday in our panel if there was a retro platform that you could play something on and stream, what would it be? I think you said, Tina, I think you said GameCube.
Yep.
And Ray, you said SNES or...
N64.
Or N64.
Older Nintendo stuff.
Tina, if you could play any game on a GameCube and Twitch, what do you think your favorite game to be able to stream would be on GameCube?
Oh, any of the Mario Parties on GameCube. Yeah. Any of them. Yeah.
I heart Mario Party as well.
Yeah.
Ray? Same question.
There's so many good games on the Super Nintendo. I mean, you have Legend of Zelda, you have Super Mario World, but I think, I said this yesterday too, it was kind of two opposite games. It'd either be Super Mario World, because it's just a classic, or it'd be NBA Jam, just because it's
over the top. Oh my gosh,
NBA.
Yeah.
I think that was the version where you could get like Bill Clinton as like a secret character.
Yep.
Just slam dunking with Bill Clinton is amazing.
I was thinking about this question for myself, and I think I would probably, I guess it's considered a retro console now, even though it came out while I was, you know, in high school. The original PlayStation, the PlayStation 1, Twisted Metal. I think I would rock out on Twisted Metal, like, constantly.
The good thing about the PlayStation, at least up to the PlayStation 3, if you got, like, the right model, you can play PS1 games and PS2 games and PS3 games, yeah. It's a shame. Backwards compatibility kind of just, like...
It's kind of dying out.
Yeah,
it's kind of sad.
I mean, Xbox One is slowly bringing it back over, but I don't think Sony's doing it at all, which is kind of like...
Well, the way Sony's doing it is through their PlayStation Now service, which is a streaming game service. So instead of you playing a game and streaming it out to the world, they are hosting the game somewhere else, and you are streaming it to yourself while giving controls back and forth. So a lot of PlayStation 3 games, PlayStation 2, and even some of the PlayStation 1 games are on that service. It's currently $20 a month, but during the holidays, they offer a year of it for $100, and you get access to there's probably like 120 games on there right now, or they're remastering it and reselling it to you in the PlayStation Store.
Right. That's
as big of a Sony fan as I am, I understand technically why backwards compatibility was left out, and hate that they don't provide an option for you to put your disc in and give you the digital copy. But that's another topic.
Right.
That's another podcast.
Another discussion for another day.
Right. So, Josh, I'm going to ask you the same question. You got a retro console. I'm going to set a rule for you.
Sure.
Let's say PS2 and back. Because it's been long enough from the PS2. I think PS2
It is
and
no
back.
Longer in production, so yes.
Right.
I would go
console
with
and game.
I would go with either, and these are both WWE games. I would either go with PlayStation 1, SmackDown 2, Know Your Role.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
That one particularly, or the PlayStation 2 with the debut of Brock Lesnar.
Was it like Just Bring It or something like that?
Something like that. No, Just Bring It was number two.
Okay.
I remember that now. God darn it. They were both so good. And that one in particular with Lesnar and Goldberg before WrestleMania 20 is it was the first time they really had the big entrances that were configurable, and it was I don't know what it was, but I always loved playing it. But I have stepped back and played that SmackDown 2 versus the WWE series that's out now, and wow, was it bad!
Yeah, you'd be surprised going back to some of those games how like they don't hold up very well. I think recently I went back and played I played GoldenEye recently, and man, GoldenEye does not hold up well in 2016.
Oh my gosh.
Like, oh god, the N64 controller is awful. But
So there was a local convention in March. Is that when Hoosier Con was, Josh? March?
I believe so.
Okay. So at HoosierCon, they had a video arcade. Very similar to the one that they have here. Probably a quarter the size, though. They had a few cabinets, but they had, first time I'd ever seen this, it was, they had a Super Nintendo, and they had a Nintendo 64 setup with a cartridge that had an SD card.
I've seen those
And
before.
Had a huge library of, like, hundreds of games. And so I have a seven-year-old who loves to play Xbox. He plays mostly, like, puzzle games and Peggle and stuff like that. Loves the crap out of Peggle. But he sits down and he starts playing with the Nintendo 64, and I watched him struggle to figure out how to hold it, and immediately had a flashback of, I remember doing that.
There's
and
like
going,
three handles. You're like, I don't. Yeah.
I don't know how that got through production. How there wasn't somebody a meeting like, okay, how are we meant to hold this?
Right.
Like, what is the ideal situation that we use this controller?
Right. And if you look at the controller, it's like they had four or three different like. You had your control pad on the left, and then you had your C buttons that were technically a secondary control pad on the right.
Joystick
and then
dead
the joystick
center.
In the middle, and then your Z button. So if you're holding the control pad on this side, you got to like hit the Z with your middle finger just to be able to play games. The craziest. Oh my gosh!
But as a kid, I just adapted to it.
That's right.
I own this now, so I got to make it work.
Right.
That's
but
right.
Compare it to the SNES controller. The SNES controller was a rounded off rectangle with a couple buttons on top.
That's right.
And then
that's
you
right.
look at the Nintendo 64 controller was almost to the point where you could draw people to buy it just because of that controller. Now we step back and look at how sleek your DualShock 4s and the Xbox One controllers are, and you know how more ergonomic. And you look at the other, where you're like, I feel like I'm holding a broken chicken leg. I don't know what I'm doing.
That's right.
Have you seen a Hori? They make a lot of arcade sticks and whatnot. They made a third party N64 controller. I'm not sure if they make it anymore. It was like super expensive, but it actually made it like more ergonomic, where like. It you hold it like a normal controller, and like the thumbstick is up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really really cool. Unfortunately, like I said, they're super expensive, and they don't make it anymore. But it makes it look like a proper controller, and not this weird abomination that Nintendo pumped out.
Yeah, right. Some sort of strange alien technology.
So if the company doesn't get it right, then another company will be like, "We're gonna fix this."
You know, it's funny. You know, so I've always loved like third party production controllers for like the Xbox. They have like the fan inside.
Oh yeah, or like the lights built in, like the afterglow.
Right, afterglow stuff. Yeah absolutely. So on the Established Facts, near the end of the episode, because we're the Established Facts, we have to establish a fact. And normally, sometimes it's something somebody says that's quirky or funny or silly or just something that I make up that sounds like, you know, some sort of weird
like Snapple fact.
Yeah,
of a bottle cap.
I've drank too many Jones Colas, and I'm reading the lid.
That's a really good idea. Coming off of what you just said, we should get like Nuka Cola cups and put Established Facts on the button.
We could do that. So, first of all, before we get into our fact, one more time, Ray, Tina, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Absolutely.
For us.
Thank you for having us.
You're absolutely welcome. If you get a chance, not if you get a chance, dang it, get on YouTube, get on Twitch, find Tina, find Ray. Where can they find you?
Twitter.com/RayNarvaez Jr. and twitch.tv/brownman.
All right, and Tina?
And on Twitter and Twitch, Tina Dayton. T-I-N-A? I just spelled my
T-I-N-A.
Name wrong.
T-I-N-A?
Don't follow me. I give up.
I have a horrible vocabulary. So
I'm going to add, you guys are going to be at the autograph stage here in the next 10 minutes, right?
That's right.
Minutes?
Yeah,
that's
we're going
right.
to be signing.
Don't tell people that.
Did you forget?
Two o'clock.
Yeah, we'll be signing in like.
Go teach her how to spell her name.
What, 15 minutes or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, like 15 minutes we'll be signing.
Cool.
I can't believe you spelled your name wrong in front of all these lovely people.
At the end of the podcast, I was doing so well.
I'm leaving you.
You were doing so great. Yeah. So for all of you who were not here yesterday, we established our fact on episode 122 that butterbeer makes fat guys happy.
And just so you know, Don, butterbeer makes fat guys happy.
That's right.
This
just so you know.
This is actually episode 124.
I know it is.
Okay.
I wrote it at the top of my paper.
Good.
Because I knew it.
Okay.
Anyway, so...
Is that the established fact?
No. That is an established fact. It is episode 124.
Established fact, you can't spell your damn name.
That's right.
So, family friendly.
So...
we're good.
Our new fact, for episode 124 is don't be afraid to take the leap of faith. Even if it takes you 2 weeks to find the jump button. Thank you so
too
much.
Real.
This
too
is
real.
The Established Facts. We thank you. Enjoy
Thanks,
Indie PopCon.
Guys.
Go into the exhibit hall. Check it out. Make sure you get over to Ray and Tina to get your autograph. And come by our booth, 356. We're giving away a big prize bundle on Sunday. Come and check us out. And we will see you later.
Take care,
Bye.
Guys.
Bye.
Please visit us at www.theestablishedfacts.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/theestablishedfacts. If you'd like to support us by buying some merchandise, visit cafepress.com/castingrobot.
Bonus!